Kia ora, I'm Lorna Johnson and you're listening to Making Palmy Home. And my guest today is Helen King. So welcome, Helen. How are you?
Hello, I am fine. Thank you for having me today.
Now, I'm feeling a bit nervous today because Helen is actually like a proper radio person, aren't you, Helen?
I don't know about proper, but I do it more than just interviews, yes.
So tell us a bit about how you're involved in radio and what you're doing in Palmerston North at the moment.
So I work for Manawatu Two Peoples Radio. I'm their funding administrator. And just by proxy, and just because I work for radio, I've ended up learning a lot about radio and doing a lot of radio. So I host a couple of shows as well, and I interview people fairly frequently. And I love it because I like talking and I like people. So it's just like the perfect thing altogether. And I've been Palmy now for 15 years. I came here, in 2006 after living in China for 4 years, actually, and was working for something you'll be familiar with, voluntary service overseas,
yes,
in the UK.
Yeah.
And I was a teacher trainer there for many years. And my partner at the time and I, he was out there with me. We were kind of went, well, where do we want to go next? And I'd been to New Zealand as a traveller and I'd loved it here. And I said, well, why don't we go to New Zealand? And because he was a biomedical scientist, within about a week, he had three jobs lined up. So he got offered a job in Auckland and I went, no, I don't want to live in a big city. And he got offered a job in Nelson and I went, oh, yes, please.
Yes, high sunshine.
Yes, exactly. And he got one offered one in Palmy and I kind of went, eh. But the position in Palmy was really good.
Right.
So we went for that one in the end and 15 years later, here I still am.
So did you intend to stay when you came?
Yes.
You thought you'd be staying?
Yes.
Yeah.
This is where we wanted to settle. This is where we wanted to be because we got to that, well, he's a little bit older than I am, but I'd got to that life stage of, right, it's time to actually put some roots down somewhere. And I'd travelled for years. I'm quite a nomadic soul. So I'd lived all over the world and done all kinds of things. But what I'd learned about myself through that is there were like a sense of adventure. You know, I come from a close family and actually me putting down my roots was becoming important again. And I was starting to suffer mentally from not having firm friendships anymore or people around me I loved. So I wanted to put my roots down here.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah.
So you didn't think about going back to the UK?
No, never an option. I got out as soon as I could. And I even during uni, I was away at least 4 months of the year in the States. And right. I did study semesters. I never, ever wanted to live there.
That's
I love my family, but never wanted to stay.
What part of the UK are you from?
Just outside Liverpool, a
right.
little town called Widnes, which is not the most exciting place in the world, but some beautiful people there, my family included. But yeah, I just never wanted to be there.
Okay. Mm. It's interesting because I think some people, you know, make a conscious decision to move and
yes.
live somewhere else. And
yes.
other people, it just sort of happens to them. And
yeah.
then they wake up one day and they find out they've emigrated. So that's interesting. So the time that you spent in China, were you looking around from that point to find a country to settle in? Was that the choice for New Zealand or was it more that once you got here, you thought, oh, okay, this is
no,
good.
No, that was the choice. We got to the end of my tenure and China's a really funny place, as in I never felt like I could belong there because the places I were working were kind of in the middle of nowhere. A lot of people hadn't met a Westerner before and I was always the other.
Yeah.
I was never going to belong. And, you know, as I mentioned, I have that need for roots and belonging somewhere and it wasn't going to happen there.
Yeah.
So that's when we kind of went, what's next? And that's when I went, oh, I would love to live here. I really would. Yeah.
And was it a difficult process to get accepted or was it fairly straightforward?
Wasn't, no, because Alan was on the skill shortage
right.
list, they practically wanted to
sort of
clone
begged
him.
To come. Yeah.
Please enter our country.
Yeah.
Because, you know, good scientists are always the shortage anyway. So it was actually a really, really easy process. It was a little bit harder for me because I didn't have those skills. So I had to go through a few more hoops, but nothing major. It was
right.
fairly straightforward. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's good to hear. Because sometimes people's experience of immigration can be a bit
yes.
daunting.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So when you arrived in Palmerston North, and what was your first impression? You can be honest.
When did I arrive? It was a February.
So probably the best time
March,
of year.
March.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I remember was, you know, I've done a lot of flying, was coming off that big jet because I came directly from the UK because I'd spent some time with my
yeah.
family, getting into Auckland Airport and then getting on a propeller plane and just thinking, I've come this far and I'm going to die on this tiny plane that's got propellers. I was just literally like, oh, I don't think I'm going to make it. So I think I just came to Palmy and I was relieved that I touched the tarmac. never been on a propeller plane before. I was just like, really? Is this what I'm coming into?
Oh, that's funny.
So, so I felt a sense of relief and an adjustment, because when I got here, I you know, went through the processes of having to find a job and things like that. And it was actually the first time I'd done anything vaguely settled, like own a mobile phone at the age of 28 or buy a car. Right. So there was a transition into actually being an adult, because I've been so transient before. Yeah. And that was quite interesting. But I ended up, my work was wonderful, because I worked for Methodist Social Services for many years as their education manager. And I worked for MASI as well. I taught English there as a continuum of what I've been doing in China. So finding work was fairly straightforward, though it seems to be a rule. I don't seem to do one job by itself ever, and having a
you're always
of
juggling
roles.
Multiple roles.
Yeah,
I mean.
Yeah, it feels like that. So it was fairly straightforward, and yeah, I think like any new place and new culture, it did take a little while for adapting, because you know obviously there are the you know. The white European roots here, you know, alongside all the wonderful things about living in a biculture. But there was a lot that was familiar. So in that sense, it wasn't too difficult.
And did you know anybody here?
No.
No.
Absolutely nobody.
Yeah, fresh start.
So making friends and starting relationships, which I'm used to doing. So wasn't a problem for me.
So how did you go about that then?
Work.
Yeah.
Mostly. I mean, Methodist Social Services were particularly welcoming, and they just treated me like family. They were absolutely amazing. And then we had children.
Right.
And actually the main thing there, and where all my firm friends still are 13 years later, was play centre.
Oh, that's
because I knew straight away that I wanted my kids to be at play centre, because I loved the idea of learning and growing along them and being present with them. And I was at play centre for 10 years in total with my children in Ashurst, and I loved it. And that's where all my best friends have come from, my real connections in the country. So, you know, I would so recommend that. You know,
so your recommendation is having kids helps you settle in.
It does, because I guess it's an equaliser
in
that sense. You know, the people you socialise with from that point, whether it's your antenatal group, you're all doing the same thing, and it's that life stage. And I think it's those life stage when you start to make relationships with people. You think school, if you think university, having your first children, it's those that the really firm friends I've found in my experience come from. Yeah.
Oh, well, that's a good tip, I suppose. Yeah. If tip it is. So when you think back to those early days, was there anything that you found difficult?
Some of the language in some ways, and the different phrases we all have for things in different places. I mean, yeah, there were some things there that were just, an adaptation for me. One of the funniest ones was, I remember early on at Methodist, and they were like, you know, having a meeting of some form, like bring a plate. And I was like, so I bring a plate and people feed me. This is amazing. This is wonderful. And it was like, no, you bring a plate full of food. And little things like perching on tables, which is obviously cultural no-no, those little things which you kind of go, oh, okay. Mm. And that was a little bit of a baptism by fire for the first year, you know, and people were kind about it, which was good. But those little things that you don't even consider that are, you know, culturally inappropriate as well.
That's true. I think I certainly have found that, you know, people do usually react with grace when you get something wrong.
They
give you some allowance for that.
Yeah.
The kind of some of the idiomatic phrases, I think, catch a lot of us out, because I do recall myself working as a vet, some client coming in and I said, oh, and how's he been doing? And he said, oh, he's a box of fluffies.
Yes.
And I truly had no idea whether a box of fluffies was good or bad. and was too ashamed to say, I don't understand what you mean. So I had to sort of keep the conversation going until I'd worked it out.
There's a lot of that.
I think the expectation is because you're speaking English that you'll understand everything.
Yes.
So sometimes it does come as a little surprise when you just have no clue what people are talking about.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Like silly words like capsicum. It's like, what's that?
Yeah.
Okay. You know.
And zucchini. I had never used zucchini. We always used courgettes.
Courgettes. Yeah. Yeah. Though I'd actually had that experience in the States, because that's what, and that was a story within itself of another language thing. I used to work in the States every year on a summer camp as a kitchen hand to start with, and as a chef in a big, in this massive summer camp. And I remember the first day my chef manager said me into the walk-in, and she said, "Can you get me some eggplant and zucchini?" And I went into this walk-in fridge going, no. And I came out and I was like, I don't know what they are.
Yeah.
And we worked out that it was just different language. So I remember her taking me into that walk-in and going through every vegetable going, are there different names for these things? It was literally, of course I know what they are, but zucchini, the Italian word, I don't know.
Yeah.
So it's those little things that catch you out a lot. And if people are kind and point them out, that's awesome.
That's all good.
Yeah.
So thinking about sort of 15 years on, as we are now, do you feel well settled? Does it still feel like a foreign country?
No, this is home. This is where I want to be. This is where my children are. And this is feels like the first home I've ever had, which sounds a bit rough on my family in the UK because that was my home. But I never felt like I belonged, ever. Right. I feel like I belong here. This is my place.
Oh, that's good.
Which is a really lovely feeling, actually. Yeah. And that's down to friendships. It's down to the things I'm involved in. I mean, I think just being in this one place for so long is just wonderful. And, you know, I'm highly involved in the Palmy community sector and I'm well known there. I feel a connection to the place. And I love Palmy. I'm so glad that we chose here because it's a real place where real people live. If we'd lived in Nelson, lovely, but there's that big transient tourist population. Yes. Whereas here, people come here, they study, they live, they do their jobs, they eat, they have fun. There's a lovely sense of community here. And over anywhere, if I could choose again, I'd choose Palmy.
Oh, that's great. Yeah. Perhaps we should get you on an ad or something.
Maybe. Well, I already am. I've already done some work for the council around warm, healthy homes and things like that.
That's good. Good to hear, though.
Yeah.
And nice to feel that, you know, after this time, this is really home for you.
Definitely.
You don't feel like getting up, packing your bag and going off somewhere else.
Absolutely not. No, the connections here and the relationships here. No. And it's lovely being in a place for a while and watching it grow and change as well as the people come here as well. Because, you know, Palmy is a beautifully multicultural city as well. And I loved experience that working with Massey, because when I was there, I think it was the first influx of people seeking asylum were coming through, and that diversity was really beginning to take off in the city. And 15 years on, those communities have really entrenched themselves, and watching those processes has been wonderful as well.
Yeah. Mm. All right. Well, we might talk about that a bit more, but we'll just pause now for a musical break and then we'll be back later.
Religion, gospel.
Right, so we're back and you're listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson and today's guest is Helen King from the UK. In fact, from a part of the UK near where I went to university.
Oh, really? Yes, where did you go to university?
Liverpool. Oh, 5 years in Liverpool.
Good on you.
Oh. So have actually heard of Widnes, know all about it.
Yeah.
So Helen, before the break, we were talking about how multicultural Palmerston North has become.
Yeah.
And how do you think that that, how does that feel as a British person living in Palmerston North, I suppose? Do you feel that it adds something to your experience of the city? Or?
Very much. Because, you know, the UK, depending on where you live, can be exceptionally multicultural as well, but differently multicultural. Yes. Yeah. Very much so. I mean, because I lived in China for so long, I love the aspect of the Asian population here. That's really familiar and really comfortable for me. And I just love the fact that different people are choosing to make this place home as well. And, yeah, I just think it adds to vibrancy and acceptance. Just seeing different people from different cultures be present and do their thing as well. And that's always really evident to me on Festival Cultures time as well. I love that when that's just everybody who represents any culture in the city comes there. And it's just that beautiful celebration of diversity. And, you know, not everyone knows that there are these pockets of populations of people who come from these amazing places who are just adding this extra flavour to the city.
And I think that's something that people find surprising sometimes when they come to Palmerston North. They're not really expecting it.
No.
But it's definitely a bonus, as you say.
Very much
and,
so.
And you're right, it does add an extra kind of richness to the city, which I think, you know, we all benefit from.
Definitely.
So how do you think we're doing in terms of being a welcoming city? What, you know, what are we doing well? Where do you think we could improve? Sure, you know, with your work in the community sector, you would kind of see a little bit of how people find it settling in.
I think there's some good moves. And I know NPR's had a collaboration in regards to welcoming communities about getting things being more multilingual because, you know, there are now a lot of languages in our community as well. So there is the opportunity for people to, especially when they come here to start with, have things explained in their own language better. And I think all that stuff is wonderful as well. I notice in the community sector, there are increased initiatives around things like computer literacy for second language speakers, which I think is wonderful as well. And I notice more people from different cultures actually entering the community sector and doing work within that as well, especially through volunteering and things like that, which again adds to that overall richness of things as well. So I think it's becoming more welcoming in the sense that it feels like there's more opportunity. And I think because people are getting more used to this being a really multicultural hub, I don't know. It just, everything feels a bit more open, I guess. I can't really explain it. I'd be interested to actually know how people who are coming into the city now, how and if they do feel welcomed actually, and what those processes are for them. Because me being 15 years ago and me being of European heritage, it's quite different.
Yeah, and I think it's totally a different experience depending on where you've come from.
Yeah.
I think that's what I've heard from people.
Yeah.
And I think the age at which you come seems to make quite a difference.
Yes, very much so.
Yeah. And if English is not your first language, I think there are quite a lot of barriers to getting involved initially as you learn the language.
Definitely.
As a city, I think we're doing quite well on a superficial level, you know, of celebrating people's language, culture, the festivals and all that. But I'm still hearing stories from people that it's quite hard to find work as a migrant, even as a skilled migrant.
Yes.
And that, you know, at a school level, I've heard from a number of young people on the program that some young people are still getting problems with bullying in school. Mm. So, you know, I think there's some areas where we still need to do some work.
Yeah, definitely.
Mm.
Definitely.
Mm. So let's just have a think about community sector that you've been involved in quite a lot. Do you think that volunteering in the community sector and getting involved in community organisations is something that has helped you and helps other people settle better?
Very much so, because it just, you know, opens you up to being involved in, you know, a set of different things and with a set of different people that you might not naturally be involved with at all. And, you know, hopefully, you know, working towards a common goal. And there are so many great volunteering opportunities within the city as well, in so many different organisations and for so many different causes, that I think it's a really good way to kind of find your people a little bit as well. So, yeah, I mean, I've always volunteered. I can't remember when I haven't volunteered. That's really, really key for me to actually do that. For those reasons, it's just different connections with different people. And again, my long-term volunteering, those people have become friends and family and people I, you know, I enjoy hanging out with. So I think that's always, always a good move. And, you know, from what I understand from... I should be able to remember, is it Volunteer Central now?
Yes, Volunteer Central.
Because it changed its name.
Yeah.
You know, there are opportunities for everybody there. There's a lot that you can be doing.
Yes, and I think that the wide variety of volunteering opportunities mean that no matter what your skills are, there's something you can offer.
Yeah.
And I know that a number of people have said that through volunteering is how they've developed some skills that then help them find work.
Yes, so or I even found work sometimes, because those things come up. Yeah.
So I think that there's a role there for the voluntary sector, I suppose, in helping people settle and become a... more comfortable and make friends.
And I guess as well, depending on what kind of volunteering you need to do, your language need not be a barrier either. As long as it's somewhere you feel comfortable and happy, then there's that opportunity there.
Yeah, there's plenty of volunteering, you know, like say the community gardening or say plant to plate with the cooking, where you don't really need to be doing a lot of talking necessarily or reading, writing in language. It's more about passing your skills on.
Exactly. But at the same time, you have that opportunity to absorb some language and just learn and practice in a safe situation as well. And I know when I've learned other languages, that kind of thing's just been amazing. So, yeah.
Hmm. So I'm interested to know, compare with my own experience, I suppose, do you find that you seek out other people from the UK, or you join any kind of expats club or anything like that? No.
It happens.
Yeah.
But it's not intentional in any way, shape or form. I think it sometimes happens because there is a shared experience there. And I remember when I first came here, though people were very, very welcoming, it was hard to get below the surface because you hadn't had this history here. And again, that happens over time. That's happened through Play Centre and sharing histories with people. But to start with, I found that quite difficult. But no, I never did that because I'd lived in so many different countries. It wasn't necessarily something I sought out ever.
And I didn't either. But I did find that people said to me, oh, well, you should meet so-and-so. They're from the UK. And it was like the last thing I wanted to do.
I know. I don't want to meet someone just because they come from the same place as me, where there are 60 million people there. It's fine.
So what about your children? So they were born in New Zealand. Do they see themselves as Kiwis?
They do not see themselves as British in any way, shape or form. I mean, both me and their father are British, but they have been brought up here and they believe that they identify with being Kiwi, and they are. But I was saying to you a little bit earlier, their accents are, you know, because obviously kids linguistically accommodate, their accents are quite British. So while we're here, people often comment on that, but when we go back to the UK, which has been a long time now, you know, they say, oh, they sound really Kiwi, you know, it's completely different. They notice the differences there altogether.
And I think I've noticed the same thing with my children, that to my ear they have a very New Zealand accent.
Yes.
To other people's ear in New Zealand, it sounds like they've got British accents. But when we go to the UK, they immediately are identified as being New Zealanders because their accent doesn't correspond with, you know, what people are used to listening to. So we sort of joke that their accent is sort of hovering somewhere halfway between.
I'm very proud that my kids are Kiwis, though. I really, really love that. And yes, I think this year, finally, I will get my citizenship as well. I've decided. I keep on meaning to do it because I want to. I feel like I belong here, and I feel like that would be the last...
step.
And it feels like a tribute to my time here as well. I really want to do that.
That's good.
Yeah,
I must say it did make a difference for me. Although I do joke about it sometimes, that like especially like the other day when we lost at the football and someone someone decided to have a bit of a crack at me and went, oh, sorry to hear about your football team. I was like, oh, no, it's not my football team. I've got a black passport with a fern on it.
Nice.
So, I mean, it's interesting how your identity changes over time.
Yes, very much so.
And I think that what we notice coming for people coming through the citizenship ceremonies is that often people have lived here for a long, long time before they take that final step of becoming a citizen.
Yes.
It's not something that people do immediately they become eligible.
No.
And sometimes, you know, people will walk across the stage and afterwards I'll say to them, oh, I would have thought you'd be a citizen years ago. They, you know, they've been here 20, 30 years.
Yeah.
But it's that final step seems to be quite, yeah, a significant step for people.
Very much so. But yeah, I think it's something I want to do more so now because I feel so settled here. And I actually feel really proud to be here after everything that's gone on with COVID as well. It's just, it actually feels like an amazing place to be. Yeah, I'm proud of so much that happens here and I want to make that final step and legally be a part of it. But I've often wondered, is it a little bit like getting married? You know, some people when they get married say it changes everything and some people say it changes nothing. I guess you don't know until you do it, do you, I suppose?
I'm not sure. I don't know that it really changed the way I felt about New Zealand, I must say. Although I did, maybe it helped me to feel more accepted, perhaps.
Yeah.
I mean, the COVID thing is very interesting because obviously we've got the counter example in the UK of how not to do it.
Yes, exactly.
And that's been very much front of mind over the last 18 months.
Very much. Yeah, my family are UK and US and, you know, just listening. Actually feeling quite guilty when they're going through all this stuff and you're like, well, apart from leaving the country, we can do everything we need to.
Yeah, there's definitely a bit of survivor guilt there for certain.
I know.
And have your family been okay, though, through the COVID?
Relatively. I think they're just over it. I think they really, really are. But you know, there is a brighter side to that right now. But yeah, I gained a niece during COVID and things like that. So for me, I'm eager. I would like to go back and,
you'd like
and
to be able to
see
travel
my
again.
Growing family. Yes, I would, but it is what it is right now.
Well, just got to,
we have no choice in the matter.
That's right,
just
got to
carry
to
on
it.
And do whatever else.
Right, well, that's bringing us more or less to the end of our time, Helen. So it's gone very quickly. It's been great chatting.
Thank you.
No, it's lovely. And it's a really interesting experience for me to hear different people's stories of settlement and, you know, their different reactions to living in Palmerston North. It's been quite an interesting series, really.
I'm glad, and it's been interesting for me to talk about it as well because I've not talked about this stuff in years either.
No, just to have a think about it.
Yeah. Good to reflect, very much so.
Awesome. All right, folks, you've been listening to Making Palmy Home. I'm Lorna Johnson. I've been talking to Helen King. And you can catch the show on npr.nz/show/Making Palmy Home. Cheerio.